Welcome in. In this lesson, we're taking a sliced breakbeat and turning it into something that feels like it came off a battered vinyl loop, then got rebuilt into a modern drum and bass performance with attitude. This is an advanced Ableton Live 12 approach, so we're not just chopping for the sake of chopping. We're going to make the break breathe like a real drummer, but with that off-center, gritty, chopped vinyl character that sits perfectly in jungle, rollers, darkstep, and neuro-adjacent DNB. The big idea here is simple. In drum and bass, the break is often the human layer. It gives movement, weight, and personality to a track that might otherwise feel too clean or too mechanical. A well-built chopped break can carry the groove, glue to the bassline, and build tension without needing a million fills. So instead of looping a break as is, we're going to resculpt it with automation, timing variation, filtering, and resampling until it feels performed, not just played back. First, pick the right break source. You want something with personality. Amen-derived material works. Dusty funk breaks work. Even a cleaner loop can work if it has strong ghost notes and a few messy transients. You want a break with a solid snare backbeat, some useful hi-hat chatter, and enough detail to reshape later. Drag that audio into a new audio track in Ableton. If the break is already tight and you want raw feel, try warp off. If you need more control, use warp on with beats mode and transient preservation. Only use Complex Pro if you really need to preserve pitched musical content. For this kind of break chopping, you usually want the transient attack to stay sharp and alive. And here's a teacher note that matters a lot. Don't over-quantize the source. Let the original groove live a little. Drum and bass often works because it sits between precision and instability. That tension is the magic. Now slice the break. Right-click the clip and choose Slice to New MIDI Track. For a more advanced result, slice by transients if the source is lively, or use a 1/16 grid if you want more control. Manual markers are great when you want to isolate ghost notes, hat pickups, or little tail fragments that can become fill material. Ableton will create a drum rack, and that's perfect because now each slice becomes playable and automatable as part of a MIDI performance. But don't just toss slices randomly around. Organize them like a drummer would think. Put kicks together, snares together, hats and shakers together, and keep ghosts and tail fragments easy to find. Rename pads or color code them if needed. In a complex DNB edit that saves time and keeps you creative instead of lost, a really useful advanced move here is to duplicate your best snare slice to multiple pads. One pad can stay clean, one can be dirtier, and one can be pitched or processed for fills. That gives you variation without searching for new material every time. Now rebuild the groove with drummer logic, not grid-first logic. Program a 2-bar MIDI clip using the slices. Start with the classic DNB reference, snare on 2 and 4, kicks that push into the snare, ghost notes leading into downbeats and offbeats, and hats that answer the snare or fill pockets around the bass line. The key is contrast. Don't make every hit equal. Your main snare should feel like the anchor. Ghost snares should sit lower in velocity. Hats can be slightly late or slightly offset. And occasionally, you want a micro stutter before a drop. That tiny imperfection makes the break feel chopped, human, and a little bit dangerous. Velocity matters a lot here. A strong main snare might live up around 110 to 127. Hats can sit more in the 50 to 85 range. Ghost notes can drop down into the 20 to 55 range. Those differences give the break body and motion. If everything is the same level, the groove goes flat fast. Also, don't be afraid to move selected slices a few milliseconds off the grid. Just a few, not everything. That little imbalance gives the break that vinyl lurch feel instead of a sterile quantized loop. Now we get into the heart of the lesson. Automation. This is where the chopped vinyl character really comes alive. Start automating in layers, not globally. That's a big one. Instead of moving the whole break the same way, try automating one slice lane at a time. For example, let the snare stay stable while the hats get filter movement or pitch drift. That separation keeps the groove readable while still feeling animated. If you're working with Simpler inside the drum rack, you can automate filter cutoff, drive, transpose, and sample behavior on each pad or chain. For a darker chopped vinyl feel, try subtle filter movement somewhere between muffled and open, depending on the phrase. A good range is roughly 300 Hz to around 2.5 kHz, depending on how exposed you want the chop to sound. Keep drive light to moderate. And for pitch movement, think small. Usually minus 3 to plus 4 semitones is plenty for that lurching vinyl feel. The important thing is to automate pitch in phrases, not constantly. For example, keep the first 2 bars mostly stable. Then in bar 3, drop one snare fragment slightly. In bar 4, bring up a hat, pick up a little before the next phrase. That kind of phrase-based motion feels musical and intentional. Also, try automating sample offset or filter in small gestures, so repeated slices feel like they're being worked by hand. Keep it subtle. A little pitch movement, a little cutoff motion, a little resonance if needed. You do not need full sweeps every bar. In fact, the less you do, the more expensive it tends to sound. A great principle here is contrast automation. A single bar of slightly darker filter, one delayed ghost hit, or one extra decayed snare can feel bigger than constant motion everywhere. The ear notices the shift because it happens against a stable background. Now let's shape the break with some stock processing. A solid chain for darker DNB might be drum bus, then EQ8, then saturator, then glue compressor or compressor, and finally utility. Start gently. Drum bus can add drive and crunch, but don't overdo it. EQ8, in cleanup sub rumble below about 25 to 35 Hz, reduce muddy low mids around 180 to 350 Hz if needed, and tame harsh hat peaks around 6 to 10 kHz. Saturator with soft clip-on can give the break some nice edge. Then use glue compressor for cohesion, but only enough to glue the hits together. You still want transient punch, especially on the snare. Finish with utility to check mono compatibility, because in DNB, the foundation needs to stay solid in mono. A very common mistake is trying to force groove with compression when the real issue is the arrangement or slice choice. So edit first, compress second. At this stage, think about how the break speaks to the bass line. In drum and bass, the break and the bass should feel like they're in conversation. If the snare hits on 2 and 4, let the bass leave a bit of room. If there's a ghost note, maybe that's where the bass answers. If the hats are rolling, maybe the bass opens up in the gaps. This is where arrangement automation becomes powerful. You can automate an auto filter on the break bus to close it down in bass heavy sections and open it up during fills. You can automate volume envelopes for half bar or one bar dropouts. And you can use return tracks for delay or reverb only on selected hits, especially ghost notes, so the whole loop doesn't get washed out. Here's a useful musical image. In a 174 BPM roller, you might let the chopped break run under a rolling sub for 8 bars, then automate a filter lift and more hat fragmentation in the last 2 bars before the drop. That creates anticipation without needing some giant obvious riser. It feels more underground. And now for one of the most powerful advanced moves in the whole lesson, resampling. Once the pattern is feeling right, print it. Create a new audio track and record the break bus in real time. This is huge, because now all the automation, texture, and timing becomes one audio performance. It's no longer a chain of editable ideas. It's a committed groove. After resampling, warp the printed break lightly if needed, then cut the best one bar or two bar phrases. Reverse tiny fragments for fills. Use fades to clean the edits. Duplicate the audio if you want one clean punchy version and one dirtier version. You can even try a second pass with a little grain delay, redux at low mix, or a subtle echo throw on one snare per phrase for extra depth. And here's a really important mindset point. Resampling captures the mistakes that sound good. If you find a stumble, a timing slip, or a pitch dip that gives the break personality, print it. Don't assume you'll recreate that later. A lot of the best chopped break character comes from those accidental moments. Now let's arrange it like a real track, not just a loop. Think in phrases, not only bars. A stronger break arrangement might start with a 16-bar intro that uses filtered chop and sparse ghosts, then go into a 32-bar drop with a full break and bass, then use an 8-bar switch-up with extra slice rearrangement, then maybe a 16-bar breakdown or halftime tension section, then return with a fuller break and more open hats. Use automation to shape energy across those sections. Open the filter over 8 bars into the drop. Increase saturation on the snare bus in the last 4 bars. Add short delay throws on selected hats for transitions. Reduce low mid energy in the intro, then restore it at the drop. A good trick is to let the break arrive in stages. Start with hats and ghost fragments. Then introduce the main snare shape. Then reveal the full chopped loop. That kind of staged reveal builds anticipation way better than dumping the whole pattern in immediately. If you want to go even further, build 3 states of the same break. One cleaner version for intro or breakdown. One mid-grit version for the main groove. One more aggressive version for fills, with extra pitch and filter movement. You can switch between them by duplicating sections or automating clip activation and arrangement view. You can also alternate snare personalities. One chain for body, one for crack, one for dirt. Use them in different bars or alternate them every other hit. that creates a live, rotating feel that works really well in heavier DNB. And do not underestimate negative space. Removing a hit that should be there can make the next hit way harder. A missing kick, a skipped hat, or a silent gap for a snare can create way more impact than adding another layer. If you want a more broken live drummer feel, slightly vary velocity, timing, and slice choice every couple of bars. It sounds much more musical than a loop that repeats identically forever. Let's talk about some practical pitfalls to avoid. Don't overslice the break until it loses its drumming logic. Keep some longer fragments. Don't quantize everything perfectly. Don't make the break too bright and brittle. And don't boost the low end in the break if your sub already owns that space. The break should punch in the upper bass and low mids, not fight the sub.